Patrick Foss reporting.
Harvard has received a record 42,700 applications for its next freshman class. Officials say that's 8% higher than last year. They say more students have been encouraged to apply by financial aid policies that charge students based on family income. The dean of admissions says students are, quote, excited to learn that Harvard is open to outstanding students from all economic backgrounds. More on these stories can be found at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Generation to generation, it gets passed on. And then one day those who were passing, well, they passed on. Oh, you know we all sometimes say things we don't mean. But that don't mean that we're not still family.
Welcome to Generations Talk Radio. Good morning. I am your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. If you want to join us in the chat room, you can do so at kcnr1460.com. Or as always, if you want to chat with myself today during the show, you can give us a call at 605-4567. And my guest this morning is the beautiful and lovely Bev Stupak. Good morning.
Good morning. And they can't tell otherwise because it's radio.
That's right. They can't tell because, you know, eventually we might be actually live streaming video.
Okay.
But you're lucky today. It's not happening. So our topic this morning is what every daughter of an aging parent should know. And Bev and I have a long relationship professionally and personally. So we're going to talk about how she has gone through her aging time with her mother and what resources she used, what tips she has, kind of that perspective, and how that might help all of you that are going to be going down this path as well. I want to give you some statistics about why these daughters should care about the show. Okay. And you can chime in on this. Informal caregivers who are women, 59% to 75%. That means unpaid. The dollar value on the caregiving provided by women annually is $188 billion. Women provide the majority of informal care to spouses, parents, in-laws, friends, and neighbors. Mm-hmm. The average caregiver is 46, female, married, and working outside the home, earning an annual income of $35,000.
Yeah.
So she's just your average lady, right? Conflicts with work and caregiving account for 33% of women decreasing their hours, 29% passed on a job promotion, training, or assignment due to their caregiving responsibilities, 22% took a leave of absence, 20% switched from full-time to part-time, 16% quit their jobs, wow. 13% retired early, and 25% have health problems as a result of caregiving.
Wow.
So women are the caregivers in our world.
Statistically, yeah.
I mean, and even with my agency, Home Helpers, generally the calls come from women. Mm-hmm. Generally, you know, and there's amazing sons out there, but I always say they'll buy it, fix it, or install it. Give them a list, and they're gonna check the boxes. But it's tough for the guys to assess and discuss hygiene and all of that mm-hmm. kind of stuff.
Well, it's that nurturing side mm-hmm. of the mom role, the maternal role. But what I will say is, with me came a son-in-law,
mm-hmm.
and his involvement in the fact that my mother lived with us full-time the last 4 years of her life can't be underappreciated.
Right.
So he was part of that
equation.
Dynamic.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about your mom. I know she lived with you at the end, and we'll talk about that too. But how did it come to pass? Like, what were the last few years of her living in her home, and how did it come to pass that she ended up with you?
Well, I think it's not atypical. My dad passed before my mother did. My mom was only 66 when she was widowed.
Okay.
She stayed in the hometown of Watsonville because her mother was still alive, and they were in separate houses, but she was there daily.
Mm-hmm.
And there was live-in help.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Now, it was ironic that they decided they could not live together full-time, my mom and her mom. we lobbied heavily to move her up to Reading because we were raising three small children and we couldn't get down very often. And the straw that allowed her to cave in to our requests with no other family left in town at that point was her own health.
Mm-hmm.
She'd been a 50-year smoker. She had a very serious bout of pneumonia, and I had to drop everything at work, pack the three kids up in the car, go down unexpectedly to care for her there. And my mom was about the most unselfish person I've ever met. Mm-hmm. And so she said, I need to be closer to you for your convenience. I was the baby of the family. My brother lived in Texas. My sister lives in Michigan. And I do wonder what the stats are on the baby of the family being closest.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot, I will say, I don't know the statistics, but there's a lot of families I deal with that it is the youngest who has the closest relationship.
The closest, mm-hmm. absolutely. Mm-hmm. I was more dependent longer, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So we did finally get her to move up when our youngest was 4 years old. And the first few years was a godsend to a working mother because she provided an extra driver to, kids who didn't have their license
mm-hmm,
yet.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to do more activities because my husband and I were busy at our full-time work. So having her here was a blessing. And emotionally, she was very close to the kids and, of course, to my husband and me. But the smoking finally took a toll, and she developed COPD. The last 4 years, she was unable to leave the house. She just didn't have the lung power.
Mm-hmm.
The last 2 years, she was bedridden in the house in a hospital bed. And so it was a privilege to provide her care, maybe the hardest thing I've ever done.
I think it's interesting. I want to touch back to that she made the move here. I think that's super important because I have a lot of families where the mom or dad are in a different city and there's not the support network there, but they won't move. And these poor kids are schlepping their kids or life to fly. And they're like, I don't want to leave because I have my doctors here or something like that. And it's I watch these adult children because they talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
They want mom to move. They want it. They know the resources here. They have support here. And they're up in, Salem, Oregon or something. And it's I don't think they understand the toll it takes on the kids. And it's so important while you're able to make those choices to give yourself some more independence longer, actually, because your mom was probably more independent longer by moving here,
absolutely.
And had the help when she needed it, and you weren't having to fly up to wherever. But there's a lot of people that won't move, and even like I've got clients that are in Weed or Shingletown, and when you retire to these places like that that don't have resources, don't have Meals on Wheels, don't have home care agencies because we can't afford to operate in those places to find the staff, you decrease the opportunities for yourself to stay independent in your home longer.
But I think that's a function of none of us really feeling the chronological age we are.
Right, there you
As
go.
I now am yeah. in my 60s, I'm like, what? No, I'm not limited. I'm mm-hmm. on my way to jazzercise next.
That's right.
So I think no human does. I remember my grandmother was 90 years old. I was working for the local hospital. It was before I moved up here. And I went running over at lunch to say, hey, we got this new thing. You wear a necklace and you push a button. And if you fall in the garden, some medical help comes. My 90-year-old grandmother looked at me and said, well, honey, I hate to think I'm at an age where I need that. So I don't think anybody really sees themselves with the limitations their chronological age might really indicate they are dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
But I meant what I said about her being unselfish. It was an unselfish act to give up the hometown where her family and her husband's family had resided for over 100 years. But there truly were no other close family members left.
Mm-hmm.
And she realized we had commitments here.
Right.
And so she did make the move. She actually bought a new house in an adult community. And by the time she sold it, 10 years later, she had not spent five nights there. She spent every night at our house. She no longer cooked. The oven had never been used when we sold her house. She had there was still the plastic shrink wrapped around the coils.
Cute.
So even though she came up with the illusion of independence and all her stuff in this new house, she literally in 10 years spent no more than five nights there.
And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to chat with Bev about mom moving in and the sandwich generation, because definitely that's a part of the population that you became. We'll take a short break and be right back here with more Generations Talk Radio right after this.
We gotta say goodbye for the summer. Baby, I promise you this. I'll send you all my love every day in a letter. Sealed with a kiss. Yes, it's gonna be a cold.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Steck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right. Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs. We do them. Vehicle wraps. We do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob. Could we sign a monster truck read? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at wonderlandsigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 31 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
Cold weather is quickly approaching Northern California. Give SST Oil a call today to hear their competitive prices for home heating fuel. Veterans are offered a 5% discount on heater sales and services and a 5% discount on home heating fuels. That's SST Oil. Give them a call at 241-1167. That's 241-1167. SST Oil. SST Oil supports our veteran community.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. The summer's here and the heat is on. Projectiles fired from firearms are blamed for starting fires every year. True or not, we owe it to ourselves to carry a fire extinguisher while conducting live fire training during this dry season. Call NFI today at 530-999-1822 for all of your firearms training needs or visit us online at readingccw.com.
Everybody loves somebody sometime. Everybody falls in love somehow. Something in your kiss just told me my sometime is now. Everybody finds somebody someplace. There's no telling where love may appear. Something in my heart keeps saying my someplace is here. If I had it in my power, I'd arrange for every girl to have your charm. Then
I feel like we should be slow dancing, Beth.
Every hour.
They don't know that we're not.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. If you have a comment or question for myself or Bev, feel free to give us a call at 605-4567 or jump in the chat room at kcnr1460.com. So I'm chatting with Bev about, because she's the adult daughter of an aging parent, a mom who's passed away. But what she's learned, how we came to know each other, which we're gonna tackle down the road here in the show too. So Bev, one of the things I want to talk about too is it's so important to have these conversations with your parents to understand and be open about the aging process. Your mom was willing, to relocate here to Reading and eventually live with you. Did you start having dialogue with her, like when your dad passed away, about her aging, about what she wanted?
I'll be honest, she was impossible to have that conversation with.
Mm-hmm.
She was the queen of denial, and we were not able to. So it really was, we tried,
mm-hmm.
And mom preferred to not deal with reality. It was interesting. At the end of her life, her doctors guesstimated that last 2 years really were added onto her life because she absolutely denied she had health problems. She was bedridden, but she didn't own that. So it really was that bout of pneumonia that put her in the hospital and the upheaval that came with it for all of us that was an epiphany for her.
Kind of opened up that dialogue
at
that point. It
did. Well, then there was a thing. So we finally got her to a place of acceptance, and she listed her home for sale. And before, literally, they put the sign on the lawn and had done no other advertising, and somebody knocked on the door and bought the house. So we took that as a sign that the move was the right one.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that the move was the right one. And she was shocked, and I encouraged her to realize that that was meant to be.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's – and for you now with your children – you're probably going to be more open to having some of that dialogue because you understand. Because I think a lot of the clients that I'm dealing with too in my business, the privacy, they're not wanting to share a lot. But what they don't understand all the time is it will be your children's problem. So if you're really not protecting them by not having that conversation, because when I have a child in my office whose mom had a stroke, that is so. I mean, heart-wrenching, but on top of the stroke, they don't know what she wanted. They don't know. They can't pay her bills. They're not on a bank account. She didn't have her estate plan done. They don't know who's in charge of things. So now they're dealing with this medical issue with mom and that trauma. But on top of it, all these other conversations that really could have prevented a lot of that turmoil for them. And so I always tell, when I do these speaking engagements, I'm like, please don't think you're protecting your children because it will burden them if you don't have these conversations.
But I wonder how much of that was that generation, that stoic greatest generation.
Yeah.
They were so private. We never talked money. We never talked health. We never talked private things.
Right.
So our generation,
the baby boomers are going to just diarrhea of the mouth, right?
Well, because we are so used to sharing everything,
right.
And
mm-hmm.
social media is around for
right.
us. And I don't have a private bone in my body. My mother was the ultimate in private people.
Mm-hmm.
So her world was really our family, her husband, her children, her grandchildren. She had casual friends. I remember when she moved up here every morning, she'd go to Corbett's restaurant. And she'd sit at the end of the counter, and she became friends with Mel and Chris Corbett and mm-hmm. Brenda the waitress. But it wasn't real friendships that she developed. So her dependence that was on us.
Mm-hmm. And so that feeds into why really like assisted living facilities, that kind of situation wouldn't have been a good fit for her.
We knew at the time my mother was a person for whom privacy was everything. And she would not have been comfortable in any kind of group setting.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that about her. I will tell you, within a month after she passed, I went out and bought long-term care insurance. And in our budget, that will allow me to either get help in the home or go into a place mm-hmm. where there's a group living
yes.
situation. And I'm comfortable with that. I don't want my children changing my poopy diapers.
Right. Well, and I bought long-term care insurance at 34 when I opened
Home
50. Helpers.
Yeah, I was
just
50.
Like, I see what's coming for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely, and I think, we're living longer. I have many clients outliving their money.
Mm.
And so I'm a huge proponent. In fact, I have State Farm, and I spoke to my agent, Scott Schumacher, recently, and said something about coming on the show to talk about long-term care. He's like, we're not even selling it anymore.
Oh, we're
because,
lucky.
Yeah. I mean, the State Farm isn't. Other people are.
Okay.
But because people are living so long and taking advantage of all these benefits.
It's not sustainable.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's you know, on a side note, it's super important to have.
But knowing that she was that private, my sister and brother and I really consciously arranged for her care. And it was subtle. It wasn't like one – she didn't have a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't one day she was well and the next day she wasn't. With decreasing lung capacity, she became less and less able to move. And so we literally had 2 years where she was pretty much housebound. She just didn't have the lung capacity to get out much, but never, ever realized that or owned it. And then the last – she had another bout of pneumonia and – came home to, we got a hospital bed, and she just never got out of the bed again. But it mm-hmm. was 2 more years of life with the hubbub of a household and children in the household, mm-hmm. one teen, one preteen. And she was able to thrive with that kind mm-hmm. of connection.
Yeah. And you actually had a So, and this is a great conversation to have with your parents too about living arrangements. Would they want to live with you? So you guys actually in your home had an in-law quarters space.
Yeah, we didn't start out that way.
Yeah.
So when she moved up here, she bought the house that she would be at our house for dinner, and it would be dark or it would be raining, and I want to make sure she ate.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd eat at our house, and then it was like, oh, I don't really like to drive in the dark, so she'd stay in our guest room. And finally, after about 6 years, we said, you know, you're not even using that house. So again, the illusion of independence was important to her.
Mm-hmm.
So she had done the house that she just never chose to sleep in. At this point, she agreed to sell it. We know it actually was sold on 9/11, 2001.
Okay, wow, okay.
That was a marker for us. But to maintain her pride and her independence, she didn't want to get rid of anything. We had to move everything into our attic because she it was temporary.
I
might need it. I might need to go back to a house. But what she did agree to do is build onto our house, which allowed more living space. And we did need that with an extra person in the mm-hmm. household full time. Ironically, she almost never slept in that because she quickly got ill. And that was a little removed from the activity of the household. So she wanted to sleep in the room that was right at the base of the stairs. And she saw us do everything
The craziness of a family and teens and
coming and going
and sports. Mm-hmm. And so... After our next break, we're going to talk some more about how I met Bev and Edith mm-hmm. and our history together. And I'm going to share a little bit about that. And I think – and really, I believe I couldn't even get workers' comp. And so I met you professionally first.
It's true.
And then personally second. Right?
Personally first.
Personally.
And then I knew.
Oh, right. Yes. Right. Personally first and then. Kind of both. And if you have any questions, if you have aging parents and you want to jump in and have a conversation with us, feel free to give us a call at 605-4567. And I also want to mention all of our shows are archived at generationstalkradio.com. So if you're listening today and you think, oh my gosh, this is a great conversation starter and I want to, have my mom or dad listen in, you can play the show for them because sometimes it is just that kind of discussion that can start off of, hey, I was listening to the show and I really thought, I don't know all this stuff, mom and dad. I'm worried that the day may come when I need to make some decisions and I don't want to be in a situation where I don't know what you'd like me to do. So feel free to go to generationstalkradio.com and listen to the archive shows. And are we ready to take a break, Jacob? 2 minutes? Okay. So I'll jump into my discussion then, Bev, about how we met mm-hmm. first. So Bev was working for Teamwork HR in the old office, mm-hmm. which ended up being my office, right? And I was trying to get workers' comp. It was 2004 and July or August, and I had been trying for like a month and a half to get workers' comp, and I could not get it organized. I couldn't open my business.
Well, it's complex to be an employer in California.
Yes, and
it's
I was, and this industry is crazy. And I was waiting and waiting and waiting. And so I had heard of Teamwork HR. And so I end up calling, and Bev was working there at the time, and you and Cheryl, mm-hmm. and I believe Han carried my paperwork over to State Fund so that I could get insured.
Yeah. And so, yeah, and it also connected you with a best friend to be in Heidi, the CEO.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. And so we ended up starting our and when you guys upgraded to a new office, I was ready to move out of my home office and moved into the offices that you had on Bocelli. That
You're
was my
welcome.
First office.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So it was definitely a partnership right away.
But it was kismet for us because my mom, who wasn't ready and wouldn't have accepted moving into any facility, you were the answer. It was a gift.
Yeah,
it was meant to be.
Yeah, because I think, I mean, really, I opened in August. I'm not sure how soon we started working together. But
November yeah, is okay. when mom got yeah. her first bout yeah. of pneumonia.
So yeah. so we started working together in November. So, and we're gonna share some more stories of Edith's journey and caregiving and what Bev's learned, what advice she passed on
so
to
much.
All of you. We'll take a short break and be right back with more Generations Talk Radio right after this.
It will be forever. Or I'll never fall in love. In a restless world like this is, love is ended before it's begun.
It's a great time to drive a new Kia. Don't miss the President's Day sale going on now at Redding Kia. Kia, America's best value.
Get yours today at Redding Kia through February 28th. Redding Kia, reddingkia.com.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets the North State.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive. Open 7 days a week.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab, faster for less.
It's a great time to get 51 miles per gallon in a new 2018 Kia Niro, highest ranked small SUV in initial quality in 2017.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. The President's Day sale on now, reddingkia.com.
I'm in heaven. Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. My guest this morning is Bev Stupek, and we've been chatting about her experiences with her mother. If you're a adult daughter, the percentages is very likely that you will be the one stepping up to care for your aging parents. And so, Bev, so let's chat about when we first – so we, I met you when I opened my agency, but then you called me in November to start helping with mom. So she was with you at that point on oxygen.
She was.
She was. She wasn't completely bedbound at that point. She was – able to get up and stuff. Yeah, she was housebound, though she would deny that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's Nani. Her name was Edith Hudson. But to everybody, including all of our friends, she was just Nani.
She was, I mean, so Edith was one of my first clients because it was I opened in August. You hired us in November. And you asked us to come just around noontime to make sure she had a meal and to do some companionship. That's really all we did for her.
Right.
And really made
her
coffee.
She didn't have any health care needs at that point. She was on oxygen. And the effort to do more than just put her around the house was too much for her lungs. But she was walking around the house. And so we just didn't like the thought of her being alone all day while we were at work. So we had you come in for 4 hours right in the middle of the day and fix lunch and visit and talk books. And
I'll tell you, she was like a library to my caregivers. So she the great thing about Edith, too, like memory-wise, cognitively,
100%.
And she would read. And my caregivers would borrow books and read them and then talk with her about the books. And
it was companionship.
They had a whole relationship. And I know Janet, who still works for me, would bring the dog a cookie.
Absolutely.
And hang out
and
with the dog.
brought our dog a dog bowl that was raised because Annie was getting up there in age and she worried about her neck.
Yeah.
It's so sweet. So sweet.
She's the caregiver and the dog lover too.
Janet. So to mom, it wasn't giving care. To mom, it was friends coming to visit. Mm-hmm. And that was really important for her pride and her worldview. She would not have wanted to feel dependent and was able to be in a mental place where she didn't feel. And well, you know, right at the point where the last 2 years when she was bedridden, there was one day where she had the caregiver convinced she should go to Barnes & Noble. And they were loading her kind of out of the house with the oxygen in
and
going to put her in the car.
And I called you and I said, just so you know, are you okay if we take her out? You're the chair and she can't go
she
out.
Can't.
She can't. She doesn't have the lung capacity to do it.
But she was so with it
and
so convincing and compelling. It right up to the end, she would, you know, the hospice would come and they would say, you know, how are you feeling today? Great. You having any breathing difficulties? No. And she kept referencing when the doctor lets me drive again.
Yeah, she's one of, you know, there's a very small percentage of people that graduate off of hospice. And she was one that literally.
Well, at the point, she was Shasta County's longest hospice patient. She had been on so long and kind of plateaued at a very low functioning level physically that they had to disenroll her for a couple of months because she wasn't declining fast enough.
This woman, I'll tell you, like you said earlier, having that denial factor going on about how sick she really was favored her.
Well, not only did the doctors confirm that it really allowed her to maximize her lifespan, but it was so pleasant to live with. Here was a woman who was in a hospital bed in our little room by the stairs.
Like a little den. It was kind of like an office
room. Was. She couldn't even bathe herself. It was sponge baths, and the hospice nurses would come twice a week and kind of do the medical part of things. But it was – she never complained. That is – I aspire to that when I get to the age where I'm more limited, and hopefully it's decades away.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
Hopefully. But, I hope I will – be able to talk about it with my children. They know I've got the long-term care insurance. They know I'm comfortable being in a setting with multiple people. We've talked about that. But I'll tell you, what a gift to have three generations in a household. It happened to my mom when her dad died. She was 6 years old in 1927. He was on a routine flight. He was a pilot in the old Army Air Corps, and he was stationed at Hickam Air Force Base. On a routine flight to Ford Island, something went wrong with this plane, and it crashed into Pearl Harbor.
Oh, gosh.
17 years before the day of infamy. But it widowed my grandmother in her early 30s with a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old. So they came back to the hometown of Watsonville, lived with my mom's grandmother, her aunt and uncle, and now her mother. So my mom grew up with three generations in a household, And so it wasn't possibly that unusual for her when time came for her to join our household. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, it's such a gift for our children, what her patience, her wisdom, her experience. I would never have had the patience to play that many games of cards with my young elementary school son every day when he came home from school. I would never have had the time or the patience, but she did. Well, she was pretty limited in her ability to go anywhere.
Right. Well, but, and that's your sandwich generation, which is women or, you know, couples, middle-aged couples who have minor children and aging parents.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I had read a term called the crowded years, and it resonated with me for the time when we are working full-time out of the house and raising, in our case, three children. They were 9 years apart, so we had a long time raising children. And that crowded years really resonated with me. And I went right from that into the sandwich generation, where mom needed us and we still had a four-year-old in the house. Mm-hmm. We had a 4, 11, and 13-year-old when she basically was living with us those last 4 years.
And I remember one time, and you may not remember this, but Brian, your youngest, was playing baseball and Little League, and it was like Little League finals, all-stars. I don't remember. There was a Saturday game. And you said, Sharon, I need to have somebody come. You said, I feel so bad. I mean, I got to go to this game, but I need to have somebody come on Saturday and check in on mom. I usually don't go anywhere on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. And I said, Bev, anybody can come by and hang out with Edith and have lunch. Only you can sit in the stands and cheer on your child. Mm-hmm. And it was like, and you just looked at me and you went, you're right. Like, you know, and I don't mean to say that it doesn't matter what we do with our aging parents, but our first obligation is to our children.
It's true.
And our second obligation is to ensure our loved ones have care.
But it was interesting the guilt that came with that.
Yeah. Because I remember you're looking at me like, I just feel, and I'm like, you know, I could pay a caregiver to sit there and cheer on Brian.
Work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at estategranite.com.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Freedom of the press. What does that mean today? At one time, it meant that the press had a protected status to be the watchdogs of the government and our politicians, to be neutral in their oversight of the news and politics, and to keep the people informed and the politicians honest. Sadly today, the national news is nothing more than a political puppet with a corrupt, one-sided liberal progressive agenda. We can no longer trust or believe the media, but we can put our trust in Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Someday, when I'm awfully low, when the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you and the way you look tonight.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark. Joining me in studio today has been Bev Stupek. And right before our break, Lori called and she did hit on the point of having your affairs in order so that the kids can step in and help. And your mom, was she good about having her estate plan done and what everything was kind of spelled out?
When she got to Reading, what was interesting was when my dad passed years before and then her mother passed, my mom was the, what do you call
executor
it? The executor
yeah.
of their estates. Until the time my dad passed, she'd never balanced the checkbook. It was that old-fashioned mm-hmm. kind of relationship, mm-hmm. and Dad handled everything. He was a retired military officer. He just took care of things. Mm-hmm. So Mom had a little bit of experience that she wouldn't have had otherwise. So when she got up here, we found the estate attorney. She made a family trust. She had an accountant here in Reading, and we had those years to kind of do the financial piece of things. But that's different than the emotional part. And, Lori, what I heard you say also was kind of the friction that can develop when the siblings of the aging parent are in different locations and they care and they're questioning and they're and the actual financial arrangements are not clear
and communicated
well
to
yeah.
the kids, because I think it's really important when you put one kid in charge of your power of attorney for financial that you tell the other children, here's who I put in charge and here's why. Because sometimes those other kids are finding out about it
right.
when Mom has had some medical issue. And now on top of it,
they feel insulted
yes,
or like left
why,
out.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's on the parents to ensure that all the kids understand what their role is.
Well, for some of us, if it's a geographic thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was the one in the town with the parent. That just made sense. But the reality was the other thing, Lori, I would suggest or hope can happen for you that happened for me is one of the siblings played the diplomatic mediary role. My brother would hear from my sister and she would be a little snarky and he would intercede in defense of me or the healthcare decisions we'd made or financial reality that was occurring. He was the intermediary. And so if one of the siblings can do the heavy lifting in that regard to keep things smooth and diplomatic, because the last thing the caregiver needs is that kind of questioning.
Mm-hmm.
It is, as I mentioned earlier, one of the most difficult things I've ever done and absolutely the best. There are zero regrets for having provided that caregiving role, for the privilege of having been the one holding her hand when she passed, having her a presence in our household.
Mm-hmm.
I kept telling her, because she'd say maybe, you know, she should be more independent. And I said, Mom, it's so much easier for me to be able to come home from work and have you here. Now, yeah, there were nights I didn't want to cook a real meal or I didn't want to sit and visit when I got home because I was tired. But it was a gift that I was able to do that in the comfort of my own home, that my children were there and my husband was there. And just having a sibling able to kind of step back and be a little more diplomatic
mm-hmm.
really helps.
And I think, too, like the lesson you taught your children, like I know when I had a radio show years ago and my daughter was 12 at the time and I had her on as a guest and I wanted to kind of get her perspective on things. And I said to her, I don't remember what the question was, but I said something about what people aging. How do you feel about it? She's like, well, we just watch what you do.
Oh, wow.
We watch what you do. And
it was, and
the thing is, you know, I have a lot of people who saw their grandparents or loved ones get put into a nursing home way early. And they now are going, I don't want to do that. And what you showed your children was, hey, while it was an adjustment for our family at times and a sacrifice at times, a privilege at times, that you took that so seriously, you walked the walk, you know? And my daughter saw my grandmother, you know, my daughter was leaving for college when my grandmother was with us on hospice. It was my last week with my daughter before she moved to San Diego. And I have my grandmother here on hospice, which is a huge, commitment.
It's also an emotional drain.
Yes. And so, so my daughter leaves and my grandmother was near passing and they said in a day or two, and my daughter's birthday was the next day. And I had to call her and I said, because she was very close to my grandmother. I said, I just want you to know this could happen on your birthday.
Oh.
And I just wanted her to be prepared that could happen. And I was ready for her to feel, oh, I hope it does. She says, Mom, when she's ready to go, she needs to go. And if it's on my birthday, it's on my birthday. And she died the day before. Jessica's birthday. So, and part of me was so thankful for that because I didn't want Jessica to have to carry that memory. But at the same time, how loving it was for her to go.
What a healthy outlook.
When she's ready, Mom. And I just don't want her hanging on any extra time. If that's the day she goes, that's the day she goes. But for your children to have seen that, have they been able to tell you what that meant to them growing up? Have you guys had that conversation?
I don't know that we've had that specific conversation. We talk all the time about Nani.
Especially for Brian. That was his – she was there
– 4 to 14.
Yeah.
But we talk all the time about Nani. She was an ever-present spirit in our home. And it was interesting when Brian went to kindergarten and they ask you to draw that picture of your family that first day, the little stick figures. Mm-hmm. There were six. In his mind, as a kindergartner, Nani was just a part of the family, was just part of the household. Mm-hmm. I can't even tell you. And she would express her appreciation for not having to be a visiting grandma, but literally just a part of the family. But a huge shout out to my husband. Think about it. 10 years of not being able to walk around the house in your boxer shorts.
Yeah. I mean, that's a huge.
No privacy.
Yeah.
100% of the time she was there. And the last 4 years, she never left. So everybody has to be on the same page and can get on the same page when you have those kind of forthright conversations mm-hmm. that you're talking about. But I did feel that those forthright conversations were very difficult with the elder generation.
Yeah, I think it's definitely it needs to be massaged a little bit mm-hmm. to have those conversations. I also think back to kind of the financial side and having your affairs in order. Sometimes when those conversations come up, that sibling that's maybe questioning, it really comes from a place of fear mm-hmm. and helplessness that they're – I mean, I'll tell you, I always say in my office, if you want to see the issues in a family, wait till someone gets old and sick, because sometimes your sister, maybe her lack of being able to be here, you don't know what to do. So then you start kind of looking to other things to – you know, what's tangible for you to bring up. When really it's my mom's passing away, I'm not able to be there. I don't feel like I'm doing my part.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think, you know, for me, for other families, you know, you grieve the parent you had, you grieve the parent you never had. Sometimes with siblings, there's a relationship that you didn't have.
You're having.
Right.
That I was having with mom
right.
that she couldn't
yeah.
have.
And sometimes that will manifest itself in ways of like, seriously, who gets the TV is not the problem, right? But I know, you know, I've dealt with so many families through this process. And at the end of the day, sometimes you're waiting for that connection that you're hoping it comes. And when someone's dying, you realize it's never going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes that grief can fester too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Well, oh my gosh, I can't believe our hour's gone, Bev.
I'm sad.
I know. I'm going to have you come back on.
I'd be happy to.
Yeah. Cause we could chat. You could be my guest co-host once in a while. For those of you that want to listen to the show or send it to somebody, you can get archive shows at generationstalkradio.com and, follow us on Facebook and Instagram, Generations Talk Radio. I'm posting there all the time about who my guests are and you can listen in and join us in the chat room or call like Lori did today. It was fun to get a call.
It was.
sometimes these shows are more informative, so we don't get a lot of calls. But I know it resonates with a lot of people because this is a path we're all going to walk down ourselves.
If they live long enough and we're lucky.
Yep. I think generationally it's awesome to bring these aging folks into our homes like Bev did, you know. In a lot of cultures, Native American cultures,
Asian,
they revere the elders. And for some reason, that's gone away where it's inconvenient and people get placed into assisted living or nursing care potentially before they really need to and when they can be brought into the home and add that wisdom that your mom did mm-hmm. To your family. Well, that's all for us today. My final words are, remember, do not regret growing older. It is a privilege denied to many. We'll see you next Wednesday. Have a great day.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
News this hour from Town Hall. KCNR.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. A shooting outside the National Security Agency campus this morning left several people injured.
The NSA says there is no ongoing threat after the incident at a vehicle gate outside its headquarters at Maryland's Fort Meade. A black SUV ran into a barrier at the gate. Washington's WRC-TV said bullet holes could be seen in the SUV's front window, and authorities had surrounded a handcuffed man. Fort Meade sits off a highway between Washington and Baltimore. Drivers occasionally take the wrong exit and end up at the post's heavily secured gates before turning around. NSA police shot two people 3 years ago when they disobeyed orders outside a gate. Sagar Magani at the White House.
President Trump hosting a dozen members of Congress to the White House today to talk about infrastructure spending.
I have laid out the principles for the biggest and boldest infrastructure initiative in at least a half a century. This framework will lead to a $1.5 trillion investment in American infrastructure.
Earlier this week, the White House unveiled the president's long-awaited plan to increase funding for infrastructure. Sean White says he knew he had it and gave it his all in a men's half pipe today, as he said he's proud of his latest achievement.
Time Olympic gold medalist, man, you know. This, honestly, I'm sure you can tell by my reactions at the bottom of the pipe, but this meant the world to me and my family and my team.
The American snowboarding star earned the third Olympic gold medal of his career today with a score of 97.75. House Speaker Paul Ryan says domestic violence should be condemned, and if an abuser does get a job in government, there's been a breakdown in the vetting system. Ryan told reporters today that clearly, quote, we should all be condemning domestic violence. On Wall Street, a strong session so far. The Dow up 86 points. The Nasdaq up close to 90. More on these stories at townhall.com.
On February 16th, from PureFlix.
Samson, chosen by the living God.
A hero will rise.
He has the strength of a god. I saw it with my own eyes.
My name is Samson, and you will face the wrath of God.
Samson, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters February 16th. For tickets and information, go to samson.movie.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and bad tweets can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. Reputation.com can protect your good name. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. Call 800-651-4888. 800-651-4888.
Barnes & Noble, which announced a round of layoffs this week, is pointing to new staffing rules that will allow stores to increase or decrease the number of people on the clock, depending on the need.
The nation's largest book chain said in a filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission that the change will lead to annual cost saving of $40 million. The company insists that the staff cuts will not affect customer service. Barnes & Noble said that it was trimming its workforce after a weak holiday shopping season. It did not say how many people were being let go. The bookseller, which has struggled to compete with Amazon, said last month that sales at established locations slid 6.4% during the holidays. Keith Peters reporting.
Lowe's and Home Depot plan on hiring tens of thousands of workers to fill seasonal jobs as the spring and summer rush approaches. Lowe's plans to hire more than 53,000 full-time, part-time, and seasonal workers to meet demand at its more than 1,700 stores across the country. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. With spring break right around the corner, five Mexican states are being designated as no-go areas for Americans.
The latest U.S. travel advisory specifically warns citizens not to travel to the Mexican states of Tamaulipas, Sinaloa, Colima, Michoacán, and Guerrero, which contains the world-famous resort of Acapulco. The State Department urges increased caution in the locations of Mexico City, Cancun, Playa del Carmen, Cozumel, and the entire Maya Riviera.